Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Okay, welcome to What the Fuck is Happening, the podcast.
Yay, take two, I feel like it's about take 17.
I'm Maddie.
What? Oh, and I'm Nick.
And I'm Nick as well, also. it's been a fucking journey to get to this recording today.
It really, really, really has.
Everything's fine. Everything's whatever.
It's happening. It's here. It may not be happening.
Who knows? Yeah, the elephant in the room this week is maybe this episode doesn't exist and we'd have to delete the whole thing.
Well...
And, you know, that happens.
Does That's seem like something that would happen to us, yeah.
That's a thing. That's a thing that we'll have to just deal with.
Yeah. Emotionally.
Okay. Today we have a very special episode.
We do. Our second annual...
What the fuck is happening?
Awards.
The awards.
Yes.
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 And we even have a lovely...
Oh, did I tell you I added one?
No, but we're just going to have to do it.
It's fair. I added a movie to the biggest disappointment one, like you asked me to, so that's all it was. Oh,
okay,
yeah.
That's fine. Okay, we're going to kind of just jump right in because for context, last year we did the first annual What the Fuck is Happening in the Awards, and it was fun, and we did it a bit differently. We each came with our own nominations.
Yes.
And then argued about it. This time, we did the organizing. And
we did.
We made the nominations list together.
Well, I will definitely hand most of the credits to Nicholas. He put way more effort in than I did.
And I'm going to accept that. And then and then we are going to argue about whether or not... What should win. But we're probably not going to argue. We probably have the same opinions on everything anyway.
That's really so true. Yeah, we're gonna have to.
In which case, we're just gonna power through
fake
them.
Drama.
And that's gonna be fun and fresh. And yep. I don't care if we have to power through them. I don't care if there's no arguing. Because you know why?
The real Oscars.
Because our categories and nominations are still iconic.
That's so true. Okay, let's go straight into
it. Okay, we're going from least important to most important, obviously.
Obviously.
Starting with the worst adapted screenplay.
Yes.
And the nominations are.
Yeah, do you want to read you go?
Persuasion.
Mm.
Thor, Love and Thunder.
Mm.
Blonde.
Mm.
And After Ever Happy.
God. Such good nominations.
Such good nominations. I immediately think we rule out After Ever Happy.
Yeah, because the source material also sucks. Yeah.
The source material is also the worst. So perhaps it's the best adaption.
Yeah, you know? So true.
In which case, iconic.
Yes.
I
think we also could probably rule out Blonde for the same reason.
Yes, I agree. And also the fact that I think it's going to sweep a different category.
Oh, okay. Cool.
In my intuition is telling me. my big brain. Okay, so then it comes down to Persuasion and Thor, Love and Thunder.
Yeah.
Thor, Love and Thunder... The comics it's based on are, like, super serious and intense and really, really great.
Yes.
But Persuasion is
I know. Then they really fucked it up, too. Like, I've actually not read Persuasion, like, in its entirety. Right. I've read bits and pieces of it.
Who reads classics? Nerds.
Not like I have a whole wall there of...
unread classics?
Yeah. So... And they really, they did a number on it. Like, they fully...
Yeah.
And, like, it would have been okay if they'd made it an actual modern adaption, but they just put it in olden times
That's
with
the thing.
New words, and it was weird.
And it's also not the first time it's been done. Like, they did it with Emily on Apple TV, or... Yeah, Emily.
Yeah.
Or Dickinson, Emily? Sorry.
Yeah, Emily Dickinson.
I agree, and I actually independently also just think it's a bad movie. That I never finished.
That's so fair. But then again, Thor Love and Thunder genuinely was extremely disappointing.
Yeah, but the comics it's based on aren't like a classic.
All right, Persuasion is the winner.
Persuasion, you win. Congratulations. We still love you, Dakota Johnson.
Yeah, we do.
Okay, the next category, in the words of RuPaul Charles, drop. Category is best COVID name drop. Now, this references a movie where COVID is a plot point, or COVID is mentioned, or they're like, oh, so COVID happened, and now it's fine, and everything's good.
Yeah.
And the nominations are, Maddie, would you like to read the nominations?
Firstly, we have Glass Onion, then Ambulance, The Bubble, and The Menu. Now, personally, I haven't seen Ambulance yet. I do really want to, because it looks horrific. The Bubble, I don't really know. Was it a name drop, or was the whole movie about COVID?
Well, that's the thing. It's the same with Ambulance. They use COVID as a reason to pull this heist, because
do they really?
Like, on edge and shit.
Oh my god.
And then Glass Onion, I don't know if that's, it's like integral to the plot, but I do think they focused on it in a way that was
well, I heavy. Think it, I agree. I think it actually used it, they added to the story with it. Like, if I particularly think about, like, the scene where they all show up at the dock, and they're all wearing the different types of face masks, and you immediately can tell, like, what kind of character they are, what kind of person they are.
That's true. He used it as a storytelling device.
He did. He did. Whereas the one in The Menu was so just unhinged. One single sentence. We kept you open during COVID. It was
That's like, the what? The literal one complaint about The Menu I have is literally, that it took me out of it when they mentioned COVID.
It did. It was like, oh, sorry. Was this supposed to be in the real world?
Yeah.
So, in my opinion, The Menu is the winner, because it was just so unhinged.
That's fair. I think that The Bubble...
Really?
I've not even seen it. I just know that it's got horrific reviews.
Oh my god, it's...
But I think the concept is there.
Yeah, but they didn't pull it off.
Exactly.
So it doesn't count.
Oh, true. This is best COVID name drop.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree. Okay, The Menu. In an otherwise perfect movie, it's so jarringly shocking.
It's so weird.
Okay, so the winner of best COVID name drop is The Menu. Next category is best sex scene.
Ooh. I haven't really... Okay, what have I seen? Actually...
You've seen three of them.
Yeah, I have seen three of them.
Okay, the nominations are Harry's Bum in My Policeman. Oh, it's best spicy scene, I guess.
Yeah.
Harry's Bum in My Policeman.
Yep.
All of the intense sex scenes in Bones and All. Cannibal Realness. Henry Cavill's tight Victorian-era clothing in Enola Holmes 2.
So such a good nomination.
Zoe Deutsch and Dylan O'Brien's very quick bathroom sex scene. Premature ejaculation and Not Okay. That was so funny. Or Emma Corrin and Jack O'Connell in Lady Chatterley's Lover. The entire movie is about sex in the Victorian era.
Very iconic.
By the way, I just say any movie that's set in the past in England, Victorian era. I don't know if it's actually accurate. But that's, if it happened before 1955, Victorian era.
Iconic. Well, I haven't seen the other one, but definitely in Enola Holmes, you are correct. So,
well, Lady Chatterley's Lover is like an insane amount of nudity for both of them.
Love that.
Spicy though.
Now, when we say best spicy scene, exactly, are we going like the one that was the most like accurate, or the one that was like turned us on the most, or
just
the most iconic, the hottest?
Hottest,
okay.
Or like scandalizing.
I mean, definitely the two that stand out to me, obviously, are My Policeman and Enola Holmes 2. Harry's Bum, can't go past that. Henry Cavill in tight clothing, also can't go past that.
You're not wrong.
Bones and All just freaked me out on the whole, so I immediately have to disqualify that.
That's fair. Maybe let's go Harry's Bum.
Okay.
Because at least there's some nudity.
Love that.
You got to appreciate that.
And it is Harry, so...
And
it is
Harry's Bum.
Harry's Bum, you are the winner!
Congratulations. Can't wait for Harry Styles' fourth album, Harry's Bum. Follow up to Harry's house.
Perfect. Exactly what we need.
Next category is biggest disappointment. Would you like to read out the categories?
Okay. Yes. They are Thor, Love and Thunder, Don't Worry, Darling, The Bubble, all of the actors who agreed to work on Amsterdam, Your Place or Mine, and this is the one that I added a movie to, which was Jurassic World Dominion.
Interesting.
Yes.
But you liked that.
Well,
that's why I didn't put it.
Subjectively
do we need to like argue about this? Because I think the winner is all the actors who worked on Hairspray.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it really is. It really, really is. The other ones, like...
I feel like I want to just justify Don't Worry, Darling. While we liked it, it could have been so good that it's disappointing that it wasn't its full potential.
It's actually a really interesting one because going in, I expected nothing. And then I enjoyed it more than I thought I would. So it actually, like... exceeded expectations, except after I'd seen it, I was like, oh, but this movie could have been so amazing. Yeah, so yeah. It, like, retrospectively disappointed me.
Yeah, and that's kind of what happened to me. As soon as the movie ended, I was like,
yeah,
it had so much potential that it now I'm depressed. So much better.
Yeah, exactly.
I put the bubble because I thought with such a stacked cast,
yeah,
and such an iconic solid concept.
Yeah.
And then it was a flop.
It was so bad.
And then Your Place or Mine, I think it really could have brought back the rom-com genre in a way.
So true.
That was iconic.
So true.
But instead it was a flop.
It was a flop.
So the winner's still all the actors who agreed to work on Amsterdam, including Taylor Swift, who we love.
And that one genuinely is like a real world disappointment too, so.
Period. Up next is the movie I didn't think I'd like, but then I actually did.
Interesting. Okay, well...
Maddie was meant to give me one for this. She was thinking of the wrong category.
I was thinking of the wrong category. You're right.
Okay, the nominations are The Secrets of Dumbledore, Prey, and Titanic 3D re-release.
Yeah.
The menu's not actually there. That was just the last thing to be on that one.
That's fair.
These are kind of... this is a me category. Okay, really The Secrets is. Of Dumbledore was still bad. It was still bad.
Fair.
But it was better than the second and first.
Interesting. Okay.
Prey. I mean, it's a Predator movie. I thought I'm not really the target audience. But then, have you watched Prey?
No.
You need to watch it on Disney Plus. It's fucking phenomenal.
Really?
It's really fucking
interesting.
Good.
Interesting. I think I did actually have a look at movies for this, and I kind of came to the conclusion where I was like, I just don't think I really was anticipating any films last year, which is why none of them disappointed me because I wasn't like. Okay. Sorry, that I liked that I didn't think I'd like because I just didn't see anything
interesting
that I didn't want to see.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
And then Titanic, I've spent my entire life thinking I hated it. I having never thought actually that I really disliked the movie The Titanic. Having never watched it in full in one go, I'd watched probably the whole thing in bits and pieces.
Interesting.
But I thought I hated it. And then for my birthday, we went and saw the Titanic 3D re-release 4K edition for the 20th or 25th anniversary.
5th, I think.
Oh, yeah, 1998. Yeah. For the 25th anniversary, and turns out I loved it. That shit was iconic.
It was so good.
And I don't admit that I'm wrong often.
That's so
and
true.
And I was wrong about that.
I think
for the sheer weight of me... admitting I'm wrong, I think the Titanic has to win that.
That's so fair. And Titanic is also one of my favorite films, so I'm happy for it to win.
And also the Titanic's... wait, let me rethink that. We're the only award show this award season in which the Titanic is nominated. So I think that we hold stature compared to the rest. We have...
I'm okay with that.
We have power.
That's cool with me.
Titanic, you're a winner.
Also, just shockingly, I would also be happy to vote for Titanic because I didn't think I was going to like it in 3D, but then it was kind of a vibe.
Also, can we point out the, people are having a meltdown over this poster for the Titanic because it looks like Rose has, like, a sideways mullet.
People,
it looks like her hair's, like, a shortcut there and then it's long on the other side. And I can't unsee it.
I can't unsee it now either, but I...
okay. Most pretentious film. We have
The Fabelmans, The Whale, Blonde, and Bones and All. By the way, this is a very iconic PowerPoint. Are you going to put this online for people to see?
I am. It's going to be here the whole time. Now, out of these, admittedly, the only one we've seen is Bones and All.
Bones and All, yeah.
The Fabelmans is like a self-congratulatory jerk-off about Steven Spielberg's own life.
Horrific.
The Whale...
Steven Spielberg's still alive.
He directed his own movie and wrote it.
I'm out. That wins.
I was going to say, but then Blonde. Again, though, it's going to sweep a different category. You're right.
Well,
I think is pretentious. Like, he dies. Spoiler. He dies at the end.
I mean, I don't.
Instead of dying, let me finish. Instead of dying, he, like, transcends to, like, heaven or, like, a place that's pure light. I'm like, that's fucking dumb.
It definitely is dumb. But I look, firstly, with Blonde, I don't know if I would say Blonde is... No, it probably was pretty self-congratulatory, wasn't it?
Yeah. I still think the Fablemans. I think the fact that he wrote it and directed it about his own life.
That's... I mean, it's too much.
Okay, you're right.
The Fablemans.
The Fablemans, you win most pretentious film. Congrats. Gayest movie! Oh my God. Best category.
I haven't seen any of... Wait.
You've seen one of these?
I've seen one, yeah.
Okay, the nominations are Bros, Fire Island, Crush, Aaron Taylor Johnson's mustache in Bullet Train, and Bodies, Bodies, Bodies.
Interesting.
Now, this is another me category. It Fuck is you, Maddie.
Yeah. I mean, he did all the work, so it's fine.
Bros fumbled the marketing campaign, and that's why it flopped.
Interesting.
The movie itself is really good and genuinely hilarious. There's a moment in it where a character does an impersonation of Kamala Harris.
Interesting. And it's,
like, literal laugh out loud. Fire Island is both the perfect mix of classic comedy and, like, artsy drama.
Interesting.
I think you'd really like it, too. It's a modern retelling of Pride and Prejudice.
Love that. That's a vibe.
Crush was really good because it was... Crush is kind of like Do Revenge light.
Why would I have a Do Revenge light when I have Do Revenge?
That's fair. Aaron Taylor Johnson, you are the man I knew you were.
All along.
Always and forever number one. And Bodies, 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 I'm not going to... is really fucking gay. It's like really sapphic. But I'm not going to pick it because... I think it's a perfect, like, slasher, and it has the most iconic ending of all time.
Okay.
So I think it has enough going for it without winning Gayest Movie.
Interesting.
I think for both content and reception, Fire Island has to win.
That's fair. That's really fair.
Followed closely by Aaron Taylor Johnson, who is heterosexual and dating an old woman.
Married to an old woman. And yet, he has become quite an icon for his role in this film.
Period dot. Do you have any thoughts about Gayest Movie?
No, I don't. Okay, movie we should have been hired to write.
Period dot.
God.
The nominations are Don't Worry, Darling.
Yes.
Bones and All.
Yes.
Your Place or Mine.
Yes.
And Top Gun Maverick.
Yes.
Now, you put Top Gun Maverick in there.
I did.
Explain.
Well, because we both agreed when we watched it that the movie would have been so much better if they'd removed the romance plot and focused on the relationship between Tom Cruise and the other one.
The, like, surrogate father relationship.
Exactly. Yeah. And I maintain that. And the movie was really, really good outside of that one specific thing.
Mm.
So if we'd done it, we would have made it, like, top notch.
Top gun.
Exactly. Top so notch. True. So true.
I would agree with that. I popped down Bones and All because I think... we could have done it less pretentious and made it a bit more easy to swallow. Unironically, that wasn't on purpose. You know what I mean.
I do.
Don't Worry, Darling. I think we could have tidied it up.
I mean, definitely, yes. But also, you read so script, much of the original script, and it was way better. So it was I would say that was not a writing issue. That was an editing issue. So
you're not incorrect. And then Your Place or Mine, I would have...
Well, we just...
Yeah. Cut Ashton Kutcher's character and just made it Reese Witherspoon and Jesse Williams.
There are so many different ways that you could go with that concept. And the one way that they went was...
The bad way.
One single wrong way, yeah.
The incorrect way. I'm going to agree with you on Top Gun Maverick because I think I would have loved it. I liked it. I would have loved it if it was...
Yeah.
They cut the romantic Jennifer Connelly storyline for no... Like, that doesn't exist for any reason.
Yeah.
And gave some depth totally to the adopted father-dad relationship kind of vibe.
Yeah, I totally agree. Oh, God. It still infuriates me. Okay, cool. I'm glad we're decided.
Top Gun Maverick, congratulations!
Woo!
Oh, no. Category is movie you could watch every day. Ooh. Maddie didn't contribute to this.
No, I didn't. I should have.
So unless you have a last minute nomination, these are the choices.
No, we can go with this. Okay. It's The Menu, Catherine Called Birdie, Everything Everywhere All at Once, and Bones and All.
I don't remember putting Bones and All there.
I was going to say, I'm really shocked that you put that there.
That's an accounting error. That's not me. You haven't seen Catherine Called Birdie.
No, I haven't.
I think you are going to love it when you see it.
Interesting.
I think it's a very easy watch.
Fair.
But it's also fulfilling.
Interesting.
So it's a good everyday watch. Interesting. The only reason I would not vote for my favorite movie of last year, which is Everything Everywhere All at Once, is because it's so emotional.
Yeah, and so intense. I totally agree. That's why I was thinking I was going to vote for The Menu.
And I think The Menu is also quite short.
It is. It's a pretty easy watch.
It's a pretty easy watch.
But still iconic.
Okay. Movie you could watch every day. Congratulations.
The Menu!
Movie you never watch again.
Iconic.
Okay, now this is a very competitive category.
This is a competitive category.
The nominations are...
Number one, Black Adam. Number two, The Princess. Number three, you guessed it, After Ever Happy.
Now, I have a bit of an outlook on this. And that is that I can see myself watching Black Adam in the future if I was doing a full DC Universe rewatch, which is also pretty unlikely.
Yeah, I was gonna say, but when would you ever?
If I did, it would have to be in there.
I mean, look, see, the issue with both of these films, okay, no, I think I would watch Black Adam again just to like relive my shock and trauma. You know.
The tomfoolery.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't watch The Princess.
The Princess After Ever Happy. Cringe. Yeah.
It's never gonna happen. I just
there After is, Ever Happy never gonna happen.
It's I yeah, exactly. I just really don't see any reason why I would ever what? I don't see any reason why I would watch it again.
Mm-hmm.
Like not even when we go and see the final one. Well, okay, in the yeah. series.
What's the second movie called?
Oh fuck if I know.
After
After
After two. I would watch After two again.
I don't even know what this one is. Is this three? Is this four?
This is the fourth one that came out last September.
Fuck it out. I don't remember the third one.
The only thing I remember about it is that it had a time jump and then they were in New York.
Yeah, and then it turned out that he was the narrator of the whole series.
That's right. What a gag. Never watch that again. That shit was boring as fuck.
Yeah, it was.
Congrats, you win. Most out of touch movie.
Ooh, interesting. Okay.
The nominations are Senior Year.
Yes.
Blonde.
Yes.
And The Whale.
Yes.
Senior Year I put down because it brought up a lot of discussion about age and consent and the ethics around that shit. Because, like, you think of, like, a body swap, like,
Time travel movie.
Like, because what are the ethics of her dating a teen when she in her head is 35 but her body is 16?
Yeah, that's so true. And it was the opposite this way, right? When she in her head was 18,
yes,
but her body was 30.
Yeah.
And it was the teacher or something, right? I feel like I remember.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. So that
was very confused.
That's so true.
Well, she dated both a student and a teacher, I think, in the course of the movie. But that
was
Whale.
Weird. That was weird.
I put down because...
The fat phobia.
But I also think I put it in the out of touch category because the director actually is out of touch. And he's like, it's not problematic to put on a fat suit. And everyone's like, okay, fine. I don't disagree with that. You know what is fat phobic? The movie. But I think we
Everything
both
else.
Agree the winner is
Blonde. Yes.
For being torture porn for an actress who died decades ago.
And that's not even real.
Still not been allowed to rest.
Yeah.
None of it's real. There's rape scenes in the movie that never happened in real life.
Yeah.
It's beyond fucked.
There's no reason why I would ever watch
it. Author of the original book and the director of the movie, Andrew Dominik, just, like, literally fuck you.
Yeah, they see no issue with what they're doing. Anyway,
it should have just been about a fictional actress.
It's so true. It's so true.
Inspired by Marilyn Monroe, you know?
Yeah, yeah. No, it's really true.
But instead, it's fucking gross and really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And just all around icky.
Really true.
You tell me when we're done.
What, with timing-wise, do you mean? Okay. We can go for a few more minutes.
Okay. Best unintentionally funny moment. All of Mike Rylance's character in Bones and All.
Yeah.
He in his underwear and shit. That was wild.
That was... I definitely laughed out loud multiple times.
The whale in Avatar The Way of Water saying... And I did say saying he does speak to one of the teens. I can't talk about my past. It's too painful to remember. That shit was hilarious. And then I put Megan... But I also kind of think Megan maybe is self-aware enough that it was
I think
like,
it was purposeful.
Yeah.
Well, in saying that, though, that, like, out-of-pocket, like, dance moments.
Iconic.
Her singing Titanium.
Slay the House Down Boots. The Titanium moment.
That was so fucking funny. Was it supposed to be serious? was it serious? Was it not? I wouldn't know.
I don't know either. I don't know how, I can't tell. Aware the writers and shit were.
Exactly. I mean, so the fact that we're not sure, let's say that's out.
Yeah, okay.
Mark Rylance's character, look, I feel like they didn't necessarily put him in for comic relief, but I think they knew what they were doing.
Do you?
Yes, I think they knew that it wasn't,
I think,
like,
they were going for full make the audience uncomfortable, and instead you made them laugh.
But my laughter was definitely uncomfortable laughter.
Okay, and I'm happy with that. The winner is Avatar The Way of Water, the whale not being able to discuss his past because it's just too painful. Congratulations, whale.
Oh, God.
The best brainless action movie.
Mm. Now, are we talking actual genuine best or, like, yeah, trashy best?
Best.
Okay. So the nominations are Violent Night.
I put Brainless, for context, I put Brainless because I didn't want, if the plot was shit, I didn't want that to affect its chances of winning. The nominations are
Violent Night, Bullet Train, and The Gray Man.
I am not going to lie, I only put The Gray Man because I needed a third nomination.
That's really,
I actually hated that movie and I thought it was really bad.
It was not good.
So then the actual nominations are Bullet Train and Violent Night.
Violent Night. I mean, look, Violent Night, as is in the name, was really violent. It was, like, intense.
Look at you discovering things.
I know. It's the English major in me. Bullet Train, look, I actually think that Violent Night was better than Bullet Train.
I
which
agree.
I think was because it just had way better, like, comedic timing. Mm.
More consistent.
And more consistent. The characters were kind of iconic.
Yeah.
Bullet Great Train Harbor. Was still really good, but also it was also...
See, you liked Bullet Train a lot more than I liked it.
Yeah, that's fair.
I thought it tried way too hard.
That's fair.
And I tend to be turned off by movies that try too hard.
That's fair. It was quite flat. Like, it was one note the whole time, whereas Violent Night, I felt like we were going through emotions.
Mm.
Yeah. Anyway, Violent Night.
Violent
wow.
Night. Congrats.
Congrats.
Also, David Harbour, shirtless. Love that.
Oh my God, that was so good.
Best movie we didn't watch. We have The Northman,
okay.
The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, and Pearl. Now, Pearl, full of memeable material.
Mm.
Emma Stone! All that shit.
I got nothing.
The Northman is like a pretentious Norse action movie with an iconic cast. However, The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent is apparently a very good movie.
I have heard that it's actually really
enjoyable.
And it stars
Nicolas Cage and Pedro Pascal.
Exactly.
So I kind of think it has to win.
I think it kind of has to win as well.
Okay, I'm happy with that.
Cool.
Congratulations to Nicolas Cage and Pedro Pascal.
Woo!
Best Villain. The nominations are...
The press tour of Don't Worry, Darling. I mean, obviously. Feel like we know.
We know.
Jean Jacket in Nope. An interesting nomination as
Jean
the villain.
Is the evil murderous alien in Nope not a villain?
Did they call it Jean Jacket? I thought that was the horse.
It was, but it was also, they also ended up naming the alien Jean Jacket.
Oh my God, iconic. All right then, I'm down
for
that. okay, Harden from After. What's his name? Hero Finds?
Yeah, but I couldn't write that.
Fair.
Hero Finds Tiffin or something.
From After, but specifically in The Woman King.
Because he plays a slave trader in
okay.
The Woman King.
Interesting.
And he does a good job. Turns out he's a good actor when he's not.
Given
After.
Shit quality writing.
And the final nomination
is Andrew Dominik, who is the director of Blonde. Yeah,
That's a pretty good villain.
Yeah, really.
Whilst
These
the Don't Worry, Darling
good.
Press Tour has Spitgate, which in
so
itself
true.
Is iconic. And, like, Miss Flo.
Yeah!
Like, if we...
That was so good!
If we didn't have the Don't Worry, Darling press tour, we would have never received Miss Flo.
Honestly, if we didn't have the Don't Worry, Darling press tour last year, the whole year would have been a write-off.
And you're so... We wouldn't have...
Anything. We would have nothing.
My favourite thing about the movie is that it feels like a movie. King. Absolute himbo, we stand.
So many layers there.
You don't need a brain when you're that iconic.
It's really true.
That's
so
my
true.
Goal in life is to be that iconic. Jean Jacket
was an
absolutely
genuine,
stunning.
Yeah,
absolute icon, legend.
So true.
Could eat me up anytime.
The reveal that it wasn't aliens on the ship, but in fact the ship was the alien.
Slay the House Down Boots, Mama. When he turned into the giant butterfly thing,
that was so good.
Gagged, gooped. Best runway reveal on RuPaul's Drag Race of all time. slave trading is pretty evil.
No further explanation needed.
So there's that. And then Andrew Dominik. Just Director fuck you on so many levels.
Yeah.
Based on how we reacted to each of them, I think Don't Worry, Darling, Press Tour does win Best Villain.
I think it does,
of 2022.
It just kept giving and giving. It was giving. Like 2022 was the year of Don't Worry, Darling. Yeah. So I think it has to.
I agree. Okay. Congratulations to the Don't Worry, Darling Press Tour for winning Best Villain. Woo! Up next, we have Best Superhero Movie.
How many categories are there left?
I don't think there's too many.
Okay. Well, we can either rush through them, or we can like cut here and we can film the second half when I'm in Sydney. Because we're going to record the award stuff anyway.
Okay, let's do that. Okay. We are going to do this one.
Quick break.
We're going to do this one and then we're going to leave you hanging.
For a part two.
For approximately 5 seconds. But for us, it's like 3 days.
Movie magic, baby.
Movie magic. But I'm happy we got to record in person, even if it was just for half.
So true.
But our final category for part today. One is the best superhero movie.
Yes.
Okay. The nominations are, say it with me.
Interesting.
Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, Thor: Love and Thunder, and Black Adam. Now, these nominations are not because they're good. These nominations are because they were the only superhero movies of the last year.
Is that it? Really? Fuck, it felt like they just kept coming.
It did. We already know the winner is Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. Really in do. Fact, when we were doing the spreadsheet, I actually put that as the winner without discussing Maddie.
Preemptive.
Again, the rest of it just there because they happened last year.
They were
unfortunately.
There. They existed.
Unfortunately.
We were given them. We were forced to watch them even though we didn't want to.
Okay, that is
cute.
It for today. No, okay, welcome back to What the Fuck is Happening, the podcast. It's been 2 seconds for you and it's been 3 days for us.
It has been a hot minute.
In fact, Maddie's in a different state.
I am, a whole different state, and I'm in my pajamas.
A state of grace, hashtag Taylor Swift, am I right, ladies?
I honestly thought you were going to say, like, a state of chaos or something, and that would have been way more.
Oh, that too.
Yeah.
We are back.
Yes.
The Oscars have now happened. So we now have the added bias of knowing all of the Oscar winners and losers when finishing off our awards show.
That's so true. I mean, and we'll do like a little bit at the end where we're going to discuss the actual awards and go through the actual awards, yeah, our awards.
They can be our What the Fuck of the Weeks is the real Oscars. Yeah. How about that? Okay. The elephant in the room for the second half of the episode is that my dog is here.
Bless her. She's so cute. She's so sweet.
She's a little black fluff
ball. She's like, stop talking to me.
So she might have a meltdown and want to leave my room. And if she does, I will have to get up. That's just a pre-warning.
Look, so fair. The amount of times that Nigel and Jack have interrupted our recordings, like, it's cool.
It's worth it for the cuteness.
Yeah, so true.
Let's
so
see true. If I can get this PowerPoint up and still have everything recording. How about that? Okay. Whoa! There's a lot to unpack here. Okay, what if I go like this? How does that look? I'm just going to have to trust you.
Yeah, that's fine. I can only see the PowerPoint now.
Okay. Can you still see me?
Yeah, but like down the bottom.
Okay, good.
It's like a Zoom. Okay, cool. We did Best Superhero Movie, didn't we? I think, right?
We did, yes. So and wait, if I click this, has that immediately changed on your screen?
Yeah, I mean, there was like a 2 second lag, but yes, okay, that's changed.
Okay, cute. Okay, so where we left off was Best Superhero Movie, where we awarded Black Panther Wakanda Forever and took the opportunity to shit on Doctor Strange, Thor, and Black Adam.
Yes, and yes. It was well deserved.
Very that. Okay, let's move on to category is Best Post Credit Scene. Now, this is a category that's carried over from last year.
Yes,
which we only added because we wanted to make fun of Uncharted.
Oh, so true. Oh my god, that was so. Do you know that movie just like sits in my brain, both as something that just never leaves, and also as something that I have no memory of because it was just such a fever dream.
This is so fair. I also constantly am thinking about it, but that's because of the shirtless Tom Holland scenes.
Reasonable. Very reasonable.
Thank you.
Okay, anyway, so the nominations for this category are Black Adam, because Superman, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. I can't see because it's actually something is hiding what it says.
Mouse isn't showing up, so I can't hide the thing. But it's because it's an actually like serious emotional post-credit scene.
I mean, it was. And then Ticket to Paradise, which is an iconic nomination, because we want to bring back Bluebus. Say that fast 5 times, Jesus.
Wow, Bethany. So I would argue that the most hilarious of the three is definitely Superman pretend coming back.
Dude, I feel like because we took that long break, we haven't had the chance to like really dive into the Superman of it all, like the DC of it all yet. And I'm desperate for it because it's so fucked up.
That's so true. Maybe we should do a deep dive episode into DC stuff because shit's a shit show.
Oh my God, truly. And we have so many opinions on it. I swear to God, constantly for the last 2 months we've been texting. Oh my God, DC did this now?
Literally. Imagine Warner Brothers making endless stupid decisions.
Can't relate.
Do you care about spoilers for Shazam 2?
No. As if I'm going to see it now that DC doesn't
Audience, spoilers for Shazam 2, skip the 15 seconds forward button if that's a thing that you're worried about. But it's been in trailers, so it's not a real spoiler. Wonder Woman is in Shazam 2.
Okay, well now you have to see it.
Yeah, I think that's what Warner Brothers was hoping for by spoiling her cameo.
Whack! Like, how long is she in it for?
I think she's in it for like the last 15 minutes.
Oh my God, okay, fine, I'll go see it. Wait, when does it come out? It hasn't come out yet, has it?
I think like this week.
Oh, okay, cool.
I could be wrong. The movie I'm most excited for is Dungeons and Dragons. That looks iconic.
That does look iconic.
It also has like a perfect 100% Rotten Tomatoes score.
For now.
For now. But that's like so iconic to me because it's like I'm excited for an adventure fantasy, like actual fun movie. And also I desperately need to see Scream 6. I haven't even been spoiled yet, so I don't know how. It's been like 5 days since it's released, but I need to see that before I get spoiled. Anyway.
So fair. Maybe when I get back.
Maybe. You say maybe. I say definitely.
If you can wait that long was more what I meant.
I've got work and shit. I'll be too tired to go to the movies after work. I'll be fine.
Sophie, and when have you ever gone to the movies by yourself?
Literally, no joke. I promised my psychologist I would go to the movies by myself sometime between our sessions. That's yet to happen. I think we can both agree that it's Black Adam for the cringiness of it.
I totally think we can too, because it was such an iconic moment for about 2 days until DC announced that they weren't going forward with it. And then it was like, that's
and like a report, literally a report has just come out, like literally a few days ago that, there was a fake scooper said that Henry Cavill was going to be in Black Adam and he was going to appear at Comic-Con last year.
Interesting.
And it got so out of hand that The Rock had like a meltdown and demanded that Warner Brothers put Superman into the post-credit scene so that people would see it and so that people wouldn't be so disappointed that they'd like review bomb it.
Interesting.
Henry Cavill was not meant to be in it until literally like a month before release.
That makes complete sense, to be honest.
It does.
Because of like the way they marketed the film and stuff, like totally see that being true. All right, anyway, Black Adam, woo! And also just as an aside, the post-credit scene itself was definitely super detached from the rest of the film. So, you know, it was not a great post-credit scene in general.
It's true.
And again, that really just adds to what you just said.
Exactly, the cringy wildness of it all. Okay. Also, by the way, the Wonder Woman being in Shazam 2 means that it's like officially can't be part of the new DC universe, James Gunn's new DC universe, which means like officially his Suicide Squad movie is the only movie that's going to be canon.
That's absolutely insanity.
That's insane. Insanity. And that's
oh
like,
my God. Okay, no.
A next we'll level.
We'll save this
like,
for another episode.
Right? Okay. Anyway.
Yeah.
Can you see the new category?
Yes. I
would
can.
You like to read it out? Category is.
Okay. The category is best made me cry moment. You read out the noms.
Okay. Well, number one is Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio. Just the whole thing, but especially the second half. Actually, no, and the first half. It opens with his son, his real son dying, and that's, like, traumatic as fuck. Black Panther Wakanda Forever, the whole thing again. And then Everything Everywhere All at Once, the entire second half, because that includes the In Another Life, I Really Would Have Liked Just Doing Laundry and Taxes With You. And it also includes the final thingy-ma-bobby with Joy and Evelyn. The which made me sob. So,
I mean, look, I think all of these are very valid. They definitely are. I didn't see Pinocchio, so I can't really have any opinions there. Everything Everywhere All at Once obviously hits all of the emotional beats. I personally obviously have to vote for Black Panther because it made me cry so much. I've gone to therapy. So, you know.
Personally cried mostly at Everything Everywhere All at Once because of the I think it felt personal, but
that's fair.
I absolutely agree that you having to go to therapy because Black Panther Wakanda Forever made you realize that you have emotional issues is iconic.
I mean, it has to win the category just for that.
Has to win the category just for that. You're absolutely right. Congratulations to Black Panther Wakanda Forever for traumatizing Madison.
You need to pay my therapy bills.
Yeah, you need to pay her therapy bills. Very bad.
Iconic.
Okay. The next category.
I mean, surely that's the name of the episode.
What is?
Something about Black Panther making me have to go to therapy.
Okay, I'll make a note. Iconic. The next category is best CGI. Maddie, can you read the nominees?
Okay, Avatar, The Way of Water, Top Gun, Maverick, and Nope.
Now, as you can see, this is a genuine, like, serious category, because the next category is worst CGI. So.
I mean, look, I didn't see Avatar again. I refuse to on a moral basis. So I don't really, I mean, it looked really good in the trailers, and the first one was really, really very good. So I can't imagine it's gotten worse since then. Top Gun Maverick, look, I'm going to be completely honest and say I wouldn't really even be able to pick out the CGI from the real stuff.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is I was going to make it best special effects. So we can say it's that in general. But really I will fair. Say these three movies do kind of fall into different categories of, like, Avatar being technically the whole thing being CGI and effects. Top Gun Maverick being really realistic and practical effects and all that kind of stuff. And then Nope, just visually and spectacle-wise.
Stunning,
It wins really in that category of best CGI.
Interesting and unique as well.
Unique? Design. That's what you are. Actually, that's true. And if we are going by best special effects, more than best special CGI, best CGI, whatever. Jordan Peele literally created a brand new way of filming night scenes, which I think is pretty technically impressive compared to what did James Cameron, all he did was make people wear mocap suits underwater.
I mean, I don't really know, because didn't he also have to invent a new way of filming underwater so that they didn't lose any saturation in the color?
Well, they don't have color. They don't use the actual footage of underwater.
I thought they did in this film. That was such a marvel.
No, it's because they need a new technology to be able to film people in the you know, the CGI suits with the balls on them?
Yeah.
Yeah, to be able to film them underwater without getting any distortion.
Right.
From the water, they needed to invent some new technology. And the because they needed the movements and like every finger's knuckle and stuff. Yeah. They needed to be able to see everything, which they couldn't previously, but they changed it up and invented new shit. But for Nope, they fully, Jordan Peele created this new technology where, and his cinematographer, I don't know his name, I don't remember, but literally they filmed the scene and they rigged up two cameras, one on top of the other.
Mm.
And the top camera had really low, what's it called? Really low, whatever. They filmed the top camera really, really dark.
Right.
And the bottom camera just normal daytime, and they filmed everything in daytime, and then they spliced, they meshed the two.
Interesting. Wow.
Two together, and they created what looked like nighttime.
That's sick.
And it worked fantastically. Like, you can't tell that they filmed during the day or anything. And it's like a whole new technology, and it's like a whole new way of being able to film night scenes without having to do night shoots.
That's cool. That is really cool. That's a vibe.
Yeah, I agree. And I think just on a moral standpoint, we need to give Nope the award.
I'm cool with that.
Because it's really the only movie that we actually 100% enjoyed.
That's really fair. That's fair. I'm down. I go Nope.
And like,
I'm with it.
Saying best CGI, well, who cares? It's our category. We can do whatever the fuck we want.
This is why people don't trust the Oscars.
But we're honest about it. We don't pretend.
That's so true. That's so true. We straight up have said we don't care about anyone else. We liked Nope, and that's what wins.
Thank you. Now, for the most absolutely disgusting slide I've ever created on PowerPoint. If you are already traumatized by Black Panther, this is going to traumatize you.
I genuinely do feel quite traumatized from these pictures, yeah.
Okay, so for the first nominee...
Do you know, interestingly what? Here, all four nominees are superhero movies? Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a big conversation to be had about Marvel, especially being called out for their treatment of special effects workers and... their treatment of them and their low payment of them, and they've created like this ecosystem where Marvel basically just lowballs every offer. That's not what I mean. They take bids from all of the CGI studios, all of the CGI houses, and they basically just go to like the one that's the best and they say, hey, this is the lowest offer we've got. If you can't do that, we're not going with you. And like the prestige of working for Marvel and the exposure for working for Marvel and stuff usually means that there's these companies working for half of what they actually need to be working at to survive. And the CG, the workers are working, you know, 12-hour days or longer, 7 days a week.
Yeah, particularly because they got such a short turnaround time now these days, don't they, as well?
Yeah, which is another reason why Marvel's now kind of rolling back on heaps at a time, you know? Heaps of movies at once.
As they fucking should. No one wants that much content anyway. Anyway, we'll move on from that because that also I've just written down as should be an in-depth discussion, so.
Okay, well, the nominees are MODOK from Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania.
Have you seen it yet, Ant-Man?
Neither of us have seen it, but they released this official poster of MODOK, who's a villain in the film, smiling.
That's horrific.
And it's the most cursed CGI I've ever seen. That's an official poster. That's an official poster.
I absolutely thought that was just someone who was like just pulling out leg. It's just fucking taking the mic.
That's the officially released Marvel Studios poster.
Well, I think it has to win just because of that. We don't even need to go through the other nominees.
You realize that's the actor Corey Stoll who played the villain in the first Ant-Man film, right?
Really?
The guy who played Yellowjacket, the villain of the first movie, that's him.
No way.
When he got shrunk down to the quantum realm infinitely or whatever, he ended up having a giant head and a shrunken body.
That wins. Yep. Don't even bother going through the West.
Well, so in the comics, MODOK is... has a disease where his brain keeps growing and stuff, and that's why he's an evil genius or whatever. What? And he does look generally like this, but there's a reason that he's not been adapted to live action yet, and that is because
he looks like fucking Humpty Dumpty.
Yeah, and there's no real way to be able to make this character without making it Uncanny Valley that looks like Corey Stoll, but he looks like a cartoon and the CGI is really shit and it looks like rubber. Like, it's a whole thing, and there's a reason why it wasn't in live action before this, and there's a reason that it looks so shit now.
They needed to steer very clear of that. All right, anyway, the other nominees that are losers are the third eye in Doctor Strange, the Multiverse of Madness, the floating head in Thor, Love and Thunder, and
which
the
was
skinny
wild.
Rock in Black Adam. That is really wild. That's very terrible.
These are all pretty wild, actually. I remember seeing the post-credits scene of Doctor Strange and being like, how did this pass the CGI test? It's just wild. Also, last year I don't think we nominated Eternals and the Harry Styles scene with the little troll that looked like a cartoon.
We should have.
We should have, and it should have won.
That was...
Okay, yeah, I agree. The winner is MODOK from Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania, because I don't think any amount of polishing between theatres and Disney Plus is going to fix that.
No, that's bad.
Because you know that the version of Thor, Love and Thunder they released in cinemas, they kept working on the special effects right up until the Disney Plus release. And then when they released the Disney Plus version, they'd fixed the floating head CGI and all that.
Oh, interesting.
And it's like, so Marvel and Disney can just release a half-finished mess of a movie and then continue
to
fix
it.
That's
so weird.
And future generations just have no idea why we complain so much. Because they can't see
that's
the original
so
cinematic
weird.
Version. Yeah, there's definitely also an argument to be made about like preservation and shit. But anyway, let's move on.
Writing that
I have
down
to pause
Marvel
to let Pippi out.
Okay.
I'll be back right back. But she says bye bye in the meantime.
Oh, she's so cute. Bye, baby.
I'm back.
Well, hello there.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I am ready.
Are you ready? Did you watch Zoey 101?
Like one or two episodes, but.
Wow, fake fan alert. Okay.
We didn't have
this
cable
category category is best chemistry / sexual tension. Now, this can be both, obviously, sexual. It can be romantic. It can be platonic. It can be familial. It's just the best chemistry, like the most believable relationships on screen. Okay?
Yeah.
Read the nominations, babe.
Okay. First one is Catherine Called Birdie, Everybody. The second one is Do Revenge, Camila Mendes and Maya Hawke. The third one is The Lost City, Sandra Bullock and Channing Tatum. The fourth one, an interesting nomination, is Your Place or Mine, Reese Witherspoon and Jesse Williams. Notably, yes. Jesse Williams is not the main male protagonist. And then finally, Jurassic World Dominion between Nick and the cinema's exit sign. Also an iconic nomination.
When I tell you I nearly left through that movie and just ditched you, left you at South Bank Cinemas. Oh, I was so close.
Yeah, that was a film. That was a film.
You say
look,
that as if you don't love it.
I don't know if I... Look.
Don't try and defend yourself now. Fool.
I don't need to... I don't, like, actually love it. I ironically love it, you know?
I don't know.
More love than you give it.
No, some things are so bad that even ironically loving it still makes you a fool of a took, okay?
That's fair. I will accept that.
Now, the only one of these you haven't seen is Catherine Called Birdie. And I think when I tell you the cast of this film, you'll understand.
Okay.
So, Catherine Called Birdie, the main character is obviously Bella Ramsey from The Last of Us and Game of Thrones, right?
I was going to say, is that Bella Ramsey?
It is. And do you want to know who played her parents?
Who?
Andrew Scott, the hot priest from Fleabag. Ooh. It's Andrew Scott, isn't it?
Ooh. Yeah, it is. I think so.
And Billy Piper, Rose from Doctor Who.
Wow.
Who's like one of the best actresses of our generation, by the way. All her new stuff that she's done in the last 10 years is ridiculous. And then like her brother is literally Tommen from Game of Thrones. I couldn't remember his name.
Interesting.
Yeah. Blah 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 blah. Her uncle. Uncle is Joe Alwyn, Taylor Swift's boyfriend.
Interesting. Whack. What a stacked cast. I literally have never heard of this film until you start talking about it. So
it's on Prime Video and it fucking slaps. It's so good. It's set in like the medieval times, I guess. But it's like a coming of age, and it's really good and really funny and really sweet and a really easy watch and like a really easy rewatch too, because it's kind of feel good and wholesome. Fair. And stuff.
Fair.
Very good.
I can't vote for that yes or no. It sounds very good, so I would be happy if you were like, this is my opinion, it's the best. I personally think Your Place or Mine has to go just on a moral standing, which is the movie was terrible. The Lost City, look, good, but I don't think it was like great, their chemistry. I mean, I think Camila Mendes and Maya Hawke should win, personally.
I don't disagree. I was about to make the argument for them that they played their roles as if it could be romantic, it could be platonic, it could be, what's it called? It could be, what's the opposite of platonic when it's like villainous?
Oh, yeah, that. I don't know what you'd call it. Enemies.
like that, whatever that's called, there's a word for it, and I can't fucking remember, but oh well. And I do think that they played it very, very, very well.
Literally every single iteration of the way their relationship, like who they were to each other, was iconic. When they were enemies, it was iconic. When one hated the other and the other liked, it was all of it was so iconic and all so believable. That was a fucking banger. Absolutely.
Adversarial? Adversarial.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I guess.
I think that's the word. Yeah. Anyway, maybe. They win.
Cool. Next.
For context, I can't see myself right now, so I'm just assuming that everything I do, I'm in frame.
Can you really not see yourself? I can see myself.
Yeah, but I have to have the PowerPoint on full screen.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, no, you're in frame. Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, good. Everyone needs to see my beautiful face as this happens. Okay. Now, I have a caveat with this one, but best bad movie, as in watchable, but horrific.
Fair. Oh, so first one is Senior Year. Do you want me to do your little notes?
Yes.
Okay, Senior Year, because it was a compelling mess. The second nomination is Your Place or Mine, worth it for the middle. I can't. Mm-hmm. And the third one is Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, which is because Wanda, and at least it's fast-paced.
Which I agree with. Also iconic of me not even realizing that the poster is Thor. Because they all look the same.
Oh my god, that's so funny. That's absolutely iconic.
Now, I did think of a last-minute fourth nomination for this, and I'm...
Yeah.
I'm gonna say what it is, and I think you'll be gagged and gooped.
Please do.
Love and Gelato.
I am gagged and gooped, because that was just a bad movie.
I agree, but I can't remember if there's a category for bad movie, because that felt really mean-spirited. Fair. So I just thought it needed to be nominated for something. I thought it needed to be nominated for something, you know?
That's fair. Look, oh, God. I mean, oh, this is a hard one. I think the thing is that I don't like any of these.
I agree. I think I wouldn't rewatch Senior Year or Your Place or Mine, but I would probably rewatch Doctor Strange 2.
That's really true. I probably would also rewatch it, but I have an actual genuine dislike of that film because of the fact that they fucked it and fumbled the bag so badly.
I agree, but at least it was fast-paced and entertaining.
Like, yeah, I guess. All right, fine. Doctor Strange can win. I don't like it. And also,
we got the incredible scene of Wanda's children singing about ice cream to her.
So. I don't remember that.
You're a loose cannon. Okay, no, I lied. We have worst bad movie. This is a 5-film category, with the 5th film being Love and Gelato. Worst category is worst bad movie, and the nominees are
Black Adam, because it was a snooze fest.
Period.
Jurassic World Dominion. What the fuck?
Nah.
After Ever Happy, boring and maybe problematic. LOL, because Nick had that in there. And then Blonde, self-explanatory. And then, yes, very. Love and Gelato, which also, if you've seen it, self-explanatory.
So self-explanatory. Okay. Just yawned. Sorry.
I'm not going to lie. For Black Adam, I genuinely enjoyed the last 30 minutes of that film because I laughed so much at how bad it was. So I just think it can't win based on how entertained I was, like, from laughing at it, you know?
No, I don't know. I thought it was just boring.
Oh my God. Well, that's because you weren't in the cinema with Chelsea and I. She and I literally, we were sitting in this cinema and there was not many other people in there. And it got to the last 30 minutes. We were the only two people in there that laughed at everything. And she that's and really I, awkward like, for you. I felt really bad about it afterwards, but we couldn't hold it in because we were so horrified at what was happening on our screens.
It was pretty bad.
It was bad.
Jurassic World Dominion, I think, was one, a snooze fest, two, questionable CGI, three,
yeah,
horrific plotting,
story,
four, horrific handling of characters, and five, the second half had something going for it, and the fact that they ruined it with the first half, I think, it makes it extra disappointing.
So fair, so fair.
Now, After Ever Happy.
After Ever Happy, unhinged. So unhinged.
Well, I was going to say it's pretty easy to say that it's bad because I don't remember anything about it except the New York stuff.
And so I don't remember fair. Anything remember that actually happened there. I think there. This was the I one remember where they go had to New car York. Sex at the beginning.
I couldn't tell you. In like the English countryside, really I think.
Yeah, something like that. I don't really know. Oh, because I think we started off where the last one ended, which was with the reveal that... And he like burnt down a house or something, right? And that's where they broke up. And then...
Oh yeah, something like that.
And then they did, like, that massive time skip where they went to New York and then, and then at the end it turned out that the whole series was, like, Harden writing his book about it, which he didn't tell her about, but then he was, like, a New York Times bestseller and...
Right, it was called all After, of that. And it turns out the whole series was his writing. That's right. That's pretty iconic.
And then now the movie series is the studio is adding on another movie to the end, even though nobody wants it.
It's true. Nobody wants it. And now they're doing, like, a whole cinematic universe of these shit movies with that other fanfic movie that's coming out starring, like, Cole or Dylan Sprouse. No. The same studio's made... It's called, like...
Beautiful Disaster. Yeah.
That one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, like, by the same studio and shit. And I'm like, they're definitely making a cinematic universe of shit movies.
They are. They are. And unfortunately, we will go and see everyone.
It's true, and you are right. We're a slave to the capitalism. Finally,
so true. Finally, Blonde. Now, admittedly, neither of us have seen this, and that's absolutely on a moral standpoint, because we disagree with the whole concept fundamentally.
Mm-hmm.
I think for that reason it should win.
I agree, and from the clips I have seen... The acting is over the top, and then every review I've read said that it's so long and so boring, and then the scenes that are made up completely, the sexual assault scenes and stuff, they fully show, like...
I just don't want
she's
that.
Naked for, like, most of the film, just standing around. Like, she just has random talking scenes where she's naked, and it's like, that's
done.
The way that you're able to exploit this poor woman, even in death, is insane to me. And fully, they made, like, there's, like, a full-on assault scene with, like, one of the presidents and Marilyn Monroe, and it literally, like, shows her gobbling his ding-dong.
Ew.
It's fucking gross. This is a real person they're talking about.
That's gross. Move on. No.
We're Blonde, out. You That's win again. Winner. You win best villain and worst bad movie.
You do. It's not looking good for you this year at the Oscars.
We already know she loses and flops at everything, thank fuck. Anyway, we are now on to like the final three categories.
Yeah.
Love best that for actor us. Nominees are Jean Jacket from Nope.
Yeah.
Ralph Fiennes from The Menu.
Yep.
And Ke Huy Quan from Everything Everywhere All at Once. Now, we know from our yesterday Oscars happenings that Ke has won Best Supporting Actor and has won every other Best Supporting Actor award possible.
He has.
Now, does that mean because he's won everything else, we are okay to give it to someone else?
Well, who would you want to give it to instead?
I kind of think that Ralph Fiennes was completely snubbed from the Oscars. From the awards season in general.
I would honestly agree with that. He did a phenomenal job. Like,
an insane job in The Menu, and he was just completely snubbed for the entire season.
I'm happy to give it to Ralph Fiennes, honestly. He did a fucking fantastic job.
I am too, but, like, if we were doing this for realsies, without having knowing the best Oscar winner and stuff, it would probably go to Key for Everything Ever All at Once, because that taxes and laundry scene is fucking heartbreaking.
I mean, do you think, though? I would still be pretty comfortable giving it. I don't know. Like, no, yes, I would give it to
Key.
Oh, okay, fine.
But knowing that he's won every award possible, I feel comfortable giving Ralph Fiennes his due for The Menu, which he was snubbed for. You know?
Okay, whatever.
And also next. Jean Jacket for, like, absolutely turning her pussy
popping
out.
Popping off.
You know?
So true.
Absolute so true. Icon legend. Congratulations, Ralph Fiennes. Congratulations. Woo! Okay, as you can tell, I obviously have a lot more love for the Best Actress nominees because there's fully six of them.
It hasn't changed. Okay, yes. Oh my god, yes.
The category is Best Actress.
That's iconic.
And the nominees are?
Oh, me. Michelle Yeoh for Everything Everywhere All at Once. Miss Flo for all of her 2022 movies. Absolutely.
She had a few.
Oh, she did.
Stephanie Hsu is how you pronounce the last name. Stephanie Hsu.
Okay, I was going to say, cool. Okay, Stephanie Hsu for Everything Everywhere All at Once as well. Very iconic that we have two in the same category. The Love of My Life, Sophie Turner for Do Revenge. Anya Taylor-Joy for The Menu. Mm-hmm. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say that I don't do cocaine scene is permanently burned into my brain.
That's so true. And then Megan from Megan.
Her singing Titanium. Look. If that's not Best Actress winner worthy, I don't know what is, you know?
Literally, honest to God, I actually feel like she should win. Megan should win because it was an unhinged and yet captivating and so believable performance. Like,
it was truly batshit. That movie is fucking wild.
It was.
If it was
it's really true.
If it was like 10% more, like she actually killed 10% more people or something, I think it would have been a perfect film. But instead, I do think it kind of held itself back the tiniest bit.
It did, particularly in the first half. It should have been more unhinged right from the beginning in terms of killing people. I agree with that.
Now, I personally, again, think that now that we know retroactively that Michelle Yeoh wins Best Actress at the Oscars, that it's okay for us to give it to somewhere else because she already has the highest award possible. Second highest award possible. We have the highest award possible.
And let's be completely honest, Stephanie Hsu was fucking robbed yesterday.
Well, I was going to say, in relation to what one of our What the Fuck of the Weeks is going to be.
Yeah.
The way that you watch, that the Academy members watched Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, and said, Jamie Lee Curtis is the standout supporting role in that film.
It genuinely makes no sense to me. I saw someone sum it up really well, which was, if Jamie Lee Curtis's character hadn't been in the film, it would have made no difference. But if Stephanie Hsu wasn't in it, there wouldn't be no movie. Like,
yeah. Yeah. And I also think, I think that politics played into it, like Academy politics, because I think they know full well that out of all of those nominees, Jamie Lee Curtis is probably not going to be nominated again.
Interesting.
And they do this where they know that if an actor isn't going to be nominated again, their chances go up a lot for the win, because it's like more momentous in that way, I guess. I don't know.
Interesting. Like how Game of Thrones won a bunch of awards for season 8 at the Emmys, even though it sucked.
Yeah. And I think, honestly, I kind of think Best Actor also this year went more to the person who in life deserved the award more, not so much for that role with Brendan Fraser.
I mean, honestly, I don't remember what the other nominees were, so we can talk about that in a second.
Yeah, okay. I think Stephanie Hsu should win, because I think she was insane in Everything and Everywhere All at Once.
She really was.
The way that she played.
She did phenomenal.
Like 1,000 characters with Jobu Tabaki. And then so the way that Joy is played at the end when her and her mom are talking is heartbreaking, and
it's really, really true.
Insane.
It's very true.
So I'll cry if she doesn't win.
That's understandable. Okay, cool. She wins.
Congratulations, Stephanie Hsu, your Best Actress. Slay the house down, boots, mama.
We love you.
Okay, Best Picture. This is our final category. Wait. I think, unless I added another category that I completely forgot about, this is the final category.
Absolutely iconic. Okay, all right. Well, then.
I'm going to let you read out the nominees for Best Picture.
Okay. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, because it's everything. Such a good way to sum it up. The Menu, because it's gaggy.
Period.
Titanic, because it's extra. Absolutely love that movie from 1998 is being nominated this year.
The only award show, I will say, where the Titanic is nominated.
So true. And we were correct. Do Revenge, because it's so iconic. Glass Onion, because it's artful camp mystery. And then Nope, because it's subversive and cunt.
Maddie, with the swearing. That stands for charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent. Oh my god.
Yeah, exactly. Both of those things. Oh my god. So many good nominations. And also different.
So many good choices.
So many good choices.
And different. You're right. We've got some good, a good mix of...
It's a real mix. I don't know what
genres. I don't really either. I think it would be hilarious for us to give the award to the Titanic.
I literally was just feeling like, maybe we should get rid of Titanic because it's not from this year.
Well, no, that's why I think it would be hilarious. Which is, I mean, we're going to get rid of hilarious. It. But it needed the nomination because the 3D re-release.
So
I mean,
true.
Come on.
So true.
Titanic is out.
Devastating.
I think Glass Onion is out because whilst I could argue for it to be Best Picture, Maddie didn't like it as much as the first one.
Yeah, I think that's really true. I also think The Menu has to be out because even though it was a fucking fantastic film, I don't think it's as strong as a couple of the others there that are left. Like Nope or Everything Everywhere at Once.
I mean, I guess if that's what you think about it, get rid of it. God.
I mean, I love it, but like, I think the others maybe were better.
Wow.
Look, Do Revenge. I feel so strongly about that film because I loved it so much, but I actually have no reason to cut it from the potential winner, aside from just, I feel like the other two probably are the final ones that need to battle it out, you know?
I think what you're feeling is that Nope and Everything Everywhere have more to say.
That's probably, maybe.
Like, they have more cultural,
they're more rounded.
I can't think of the word. Yeah, their purpose is a bit more,
purposeful.
Yeah, their purpose is more purposeful, exactly. Okay.
Oh, babe, I don't know. Oh, God, I don't know. This is hard.
You know what?
What?
I think that every other award show are idiots and fools, and that every other award show should have done what we're about to do. Which what we're about to do...
Are we?
Is give Nope and Everything Everywhere all at once.
Iconic!
Both winners, congratulations. You're both best pictures.
Love it. I am so down for that. It's not funny. Wow.
Actually, yeah, congratulations, guys. I think the prospect of deciding between the two is too much for me, and I don't think I can do it.
I totally agree. I feel overwhelmed at the idea, and I feel like I am physically incapable of it. So I'm with you. I get it. I agree. It's true.
And I love them both for such different reasons that it's like, this is why the awards shows should probably go by genre. Anyway.
So true. So true.
How exciting. We're the first award show of the season to give Everything Everywhere All at Once and Nope the best picture.
Love that for us. Truly love
that.
That
is pretty iconic of us. What the fuck is happening, the podcast, the award show for 2023. So any movies starting from this month onwards, you'll see them at next year's award show. Don't worry, guys.
Next year's award show. Look, I also really feel like we should definitely just round this out by saying the things we nominated were iconic. The things we chose to win were iconic. I do feel like we are the definitive voice on the movies from last year. Come back next year because we will still continue to be as right as we were this year and last year.
So true, bestie.
Oh goodness. All right. Okay, so our what the fuck.
Our what the fuck of the weeks this week. A duel, and they're gonna be the Oscars in general. Yesterday is when the Oscars happened for us. Don't have any crazy thoughts about this year's Oscars. There was no like the event itself ran smoothly. There was no like dramatic anything. No wrong picture announcement, nothing like that.
No, I mean, the champagne-coloured carpet was very wild, particularly because it was so last minute, that announcement, and I did see a TikTok of a compilation of all of these celebrities wearing light-coloured dresses, and the commentator was like, did no one tell the stylists that the carpet was going to be champagne-coloured until the last second? And I absolutely feel like that's true.
Yeah, that's definitely what happened.
All of the celebrities, all of the women were, wearing light colored dresses, and they were like completely washed out against both the backdrop and the carpet, which.
Yeah, that's awkward.
Oof.
Someone's getting fired.
Not that anyone aside, like from me and maybe like a handful of other people care about that, but interesting nonetheless.
No, that's really weird.
Yeah.
As far as the award winners go, I feel vindicated that Elvis won nothing.
That's fair. Reasonable. I understand that.
I think this should be a lesson to all actors. That method acting is not a real thing. That produces
and it doesn't win you awards.
Good outcomes. Method acting does not win your awards. All method acting does is make you pretend to have Elvis' voice for 2 years.
It makes you look like a tick.
And it makes you look like an idiot. And frankly, makes you lose all the awards. That's the only reason you lost the Oscars.
The only reason. Fault. It's not because there were better films this year or better performances. It's because
period.
You made some
Also, apparently, Tom Hanks' performance in that movie is like a career worst.
I did hear that, actually, which is so funny. Well, like, funny in, like, a ooh kind of way, you know?
Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah.
What else? Mm. Who else didn't win? Other Fablemans didn't win anything, which is also a lesson on being pretentious.
Honestly, basically no one won anything except for Everything Everywhere All at Once. Like, let's be completely honest.
All Quiet on the Western Front won, like, four awards.
I think it only won one.
All Quiet on the Western Front won, like, four awards to Everything Everywhere 7.
Interesting. I swear I've only seen it win one, but that could be because I'm only looking at the ones that were announced yesterday.
I think it's because you're dumb bum. Anyway. I think an Everything Everywhere sweep is earned. I think
this is
one of the few years where there's been a sweep where it actually makes sense, and I think...
Well, I think it does make sense because in each individual category that it won, it was the standout in that category. It wasn't like it was... Like, they were just giving it to a movie that was really good, you know? It was like, in each individual thing that they were nominated for, they did really fucking good in that. So,
And it was unique, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think all of that combines to make it winning Best Picture make a lot of sense. Mm. Absolutely, as we mentioned before, Stephanie Hsu was fucking robbed of Best Supporting Actress.
Even on a budget? Quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
That's
an absolute
Willy Washy joke.
Whilst I wanted the sweep to happen, I wanted the sweep to happen with Stephanie Hsu winning, not Jamie Lee. And that's nothing against Jamie Lee. She's very, very great in the movie. And she's probably had other roles in her career that probably deserved a win more than this. But I'm happy for
Stephanie
her.
Stephanie Hsu should have won.
Stephanie Hsu should have won. Yes. Having said that, I would have been... Over Jamie Lee Curtis, no offense to her, I still would have preferred either Stephanie Hsu, Angela Bassett.
Oh my god, Carrie Condon. I fucking forgot about Angela Bassett. Oh my god, she should have won. I'm really sorry. If Everything Everywhere All at Once had to win, Stephanie Hsu should have been the one to win, but I think the person who should have won that category was Angela Bassett.
I don't disagree. I think that once you watch The Banshees of Inisherin, you'll probably agree that Carrie Condon is up there.
Oh, I have seen a lot of people say, actually, that she should have won that category, but...
I watched it the other day, and she's fucking phenomenal. I also think
All just adding to the story that Jamie Lee, again, sorry, love you, you did do a good job, should not have won that category.
Yeah, well, like, out of the half of the nominees that I think deserve to win, it was Carrie Condon, Angela Bassett, and Stephanie Hsu. That's all I'll say, absolutely. And I would have been ecstatic for any of those.
That's fair.
I also watched After Sun.
Oh, yeah.
Which was nominated for, like, Best Actor and all that.
Interesting.
And I do think that Paul Mescal probably had a better performance than Brendan Fraser and Austin Butler.
Interesting.
And most of the other nominees. But again, I understand the Brendan Fraser win, you know?
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
And frankly, if the choice was between Brendan Fraser and Austin Butler winning, I'm glad it was Brendan Fraser. But if I had it my way, it probably would have been Paul Mescal. Anyway.
That's fair. That's understandable.
And I've got to say, just to be like completely transparent, I typically have issues with awards shows handing out a sweep, like doing a sweep. If an award show gives one thing all of the awards, I usually hate it.
That's
usually because it's not the movie I want it to be.
Well, it's because usually it's a bad movie. It's like a pretentious
And this
movie.
Year, it's the movie I was rooting for was the sweep, and I'm happy that it's the sweep.
Fair, very reasonable, very
but
fair.
But I want to point out that I am aware that that's hypocritical of me because I complain on the podcast about like when the Grammys give the same person all the awards and it's like boring as fuck.
Yeah.
Like, anyway.
That's because they just never have any nuance. Where is this
yeah.
one? I don't know. Anyway. Cool. Good one. Love that for us. Let's wrap this sucker up.
Yeah, I don't really have anything else to say on the Oscars, TBH.
Me either. Me either. It was very, I'm not going to use the word boring, but,
I don't think it was boring. It was just very chill.
Yeah, that's fair.
Which I think they need after the last few years of Oscars.
Very, very reasonable. Very reasonable. Mm. I will say, though, the choice of having Jimmy Kimmel host, boo, hate it, don't like it, fucking do better.
Yeah, I
Jimmy
think...
Jimmy Fallon
I think...
or no Jimmy at all?
Interesting. I don't like Jimmy Fallon either, necessarily.
His fake laugh
absolutely makes me want to suffocate myself. But
I don't necessarily like him. Like, I wouldn't watch either of those talk shows, but, like, as people, absolutely Jimmy Fallon. I like him way more.
Interesting. So. See, I think they have equal negative attributes, and that is Jimmy Fallon's fake laugh and, Jimmy Fallon's fake laugh and Jimmy Kimmel's, like, zero facial expressions. He's got, like, no depth to his mim. I think they kind of are pretty on par for me as far as Jimmy hating
interesting.
Goes.
Interesting. Very interesting. I definitely disagree, but whatever.
Yeah, that's stupid. I think that's it.
Okay.
Right?
Wrap it up. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that was a very fun, cute, fresh awards show for us.
Loved it. Definitely. We did great. Love our nominations. Love our winners.
Very unique that we recorded half and then did the other half 3 days later after the Oscars.
Absolutely. Everyone should be aware that that's entirely Nick's fault.
That's Tech's fault.
No, because if you came when you were going to come, we would have had time.
No, absolutely. Obviously. But if we didn't have to fuck around trying to get our computers to work for 30 minutes... we also would have gotten it done.
We probably could have squeezed it in. In saying that, we have recorded for an hour.
Yeah, because we didn't have a time limit.
That's fair. We were much more chill today. All right, anyway, bye.
If you want to follow the pod, you can at WTFIH podcast everywhere, TikTok, Instagram, all of them. All the links are down below. Maddie's links are still not down below because she hasn't given me her new handles for anything.
Oh, sorry.
So just don't follow her. Fuck her. And we will be back next week with a topic that has yet to be decided.
Yay! Woo! Okay.
Cute.
Bye.
Okay. Bye.